This podcast is brought to you by the Legarten Institute. I'm Sian Hansen, Executive Director, and we hope you enjoy this conversation.
Good evening and welcome to the Legarten Institute podcast. I'm Edward Lucas, a senior editor at The Economist, and I'm here with Jan Švehnar, who is a professor of economics at the Charles University in the Czech Republic and also at Columbia in the United States, former presidential candidate in the Czech Republic. We're here to talk about the shadow economy. And I suppose the first thing is, do you have a handy definition of what the shadow economy is?
Well, you know, there are many, many definitions, of course. I think a handy short one is, it's the part of the economy that's outside of the reach of the government institutions. So in some sense, it's the part that's on its own and that's not regulated, that's not taxed, but also doesn't benefit from any of the institutions that we have, be it formal banking, services, or anything like that.
So that's everything from people who are actually breaking the law by not paying their taxes and doing everything in cash. But it would also go to what we call shadow banking. That's really part of the shadow economy, which is things that work like banks, but outside the regulated banking system.
Exactly. Now, so long as they pay taxes for their activities, they would be considered to be part of the formal economy. So they'd be kind of on the borderline. But you're right, it covers the whole gamut. And at the extreme, the first extreme that you mentioned, it covers criminal activities as well that escape attention of everybody.
And of course, in the case of shadow banking, there's a systemic risk. If an offshore money market fund that's acting like a bank goes bust, that can have very serious effects.
Exactly, it can have enormous effects. So there are some that are innocuous in the sense that they don't have any leverage, and there are some that can have catastrophic consequences. Absolutely.
And what are the advantages of the shadow economy, if any? I mean, presumably you could argue that this gives people the first step into entrepreneurial activity, and not everyone should have to pay tax absolutely from the moment the word goes.
Exactly. I think really that the extreme where you can justify it and feel that it's justifiable is, imagine there are people whose value added is positive, but not high enough that after they pay taxes, they would survive, right? So if you bring them forcefully into the formal economy, they'll go under and have zero productivity. And in modern societies, we have to pay them unemployment benefits. So there, the society is better off if they actually do whatever they do and however meager their proceeds are, but at least it's a positive effect.
And of course, you and I both remember the days of communism in Eastern Europe. And there, the shadow economy was really very beneficial. They were kind of economic freedom fighters.
Absolutely. It was the economic freedom fighters, and they were focusing on the activities that had the highest payoff for the society. People were willing to pay for them on the black market.
Yes, not quite sure it was the highest payoff for society, because it included things like pornography, which was very hard to get.
That's right. So that would be exactly. So you have to be careful in that, I agree. But in some sense, the activities that people were willing to pay off the highest price for a given level of risk.
And what is the right public policy approach to dealing with a shadow economy?
So I think it's a combination of activities. Those high value added areas where people are just evading taxes for their own benefit, there I think one really wants to have good enforcement of laws and so on. One also wants to have as little regulation as possible that's unnecessary, that would hamper activities that can survive in the formal sector, but otherwise would be forced out. And then have some innovative policies for that part of the economy that I mentioned, where people, and you mentioned, they are starting up, are not yet as productive. In a few years, there may be. So they start in their garage, you know, Bill Gates at the beginning, whoever, that kind of stuff. There you want to give them a free hand, at least at the beginning. Interestingly enough, I was in Vietnam a couple of years ago talking to people who work in the informal economy, like guides who guide the tourists and so on. And they will tell you that the government, this is a communist government, you know, reformed oriented, albeit, but basically they let them be so long as they are small. Once they are bigger, they start taxing them.
I suppose one could argue that although you need a little bit of compulsion, because in the end you do want people to pay taxes, particularly if it's a big business, the best way to deal with the shadow economy is to have the real economy so well designed and so well regulated and lightly regulated, perhaps, that people don't feel any need to go into the shadow.
Exactly. And especially if people feel also that the real, the regulated, the part of formal economy is bringing them benefits either immediately from the services it provides or delayed, like pension benefits and so on, social security, then they really feel quite comfortable paying taxes because they feel they are getting some services that are worthwhile in return.
And finally, looking around the world, you've already mentioned Vietnam, but which countries do you think are getting it right in terms of dealing with the shadow economy, stimulating entrepreneurship and allowing small businesses while at the same time not having people being free riders on the state and just taking advantage of it?
Well, you know, each economy will have its problems, obviously, but I think if you look at those that are less heavily regulated and stimulating, have friendly environment for the entrepreneurs, they'll do relatively well. So among the larger economies, the US economy would be a good example. Among the smaller ones, Hong Kong, Singapore would be the ones that really provide the resources for the entrepreneurs, and the whole spectrum between, obviously.
Jan Schwiener, thanks so much for your thoughts, and we'll be discussing this later on in our Legatum Institute website. But in the meantime, from the podcast, goodbye.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
To hear more podcasts from the Legatum Institute, please visit our iTunes channel or website at www.li.com.